Hello, friends. Today is August 12, 2013. This is actually the birthday of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, such an important disciple when it comes to informing the West about the deep processes of the ageless wisdom. So I always think this day is kind of a special day. We have been working with Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries, and we're at the point where we are working with the fifth commentary. Commentary 5A, and we're on to page 1199 of Cosmic Fire. Maybe just a little bit of a treatise on Cosmic Fire. A little bit of a review here. The three hierarchies we've dealt with, which are regarded as ever seeing the face of the ruler of the deep. This is the planetary logos. And the deep has to do with all the waters of space, because water is matter. And so there are great depths, and the lower you go, the denser the matter, and the more the pressure. They are so pure and holy that their forces are in realized contact with their emanating source. And this they developed the capacity to do this in previous Mahamanvantaras. They're also active, of course, on other planets, because when we talk about creative hierarchies, we're not just talking about one planet at all. We're talking about all the planets within the solar system. We're told that it's the rejection of the triadal lives by units of the fourth hierarchy, you know, and we have to say those who tend towards the left-hand path and the Black Lodge, that of the human monads, which precipitates a man eventually into the eighth sphere, which HBB describes as kind of a dust hole trailing after our planet, a place of endless decomposition, where the lower aspects of such a man are focused, and eventually there is not only the severance from the soul, which is a great disaster, but even the severance from the monad itself, which means the necessity of beginning all over again in a new solar system. But eventually, I think, all are redeemed, because all are one being. There's no such thing as an essentially evil being. All is the one life. So, as I said before, one can reject the solar angels, and this probably only rarely would happen after the midway point between the second and third initiation. Or one can reject the triads, which means that the Antikorana as such is never built, and kind of an ersatz or substitute Antikorana is instead built, which is connecting with certain devic beings, but not with the higher triad. So the individual chooses a kind of selfish individualism instead, and uses some of the powers of the egoic lotus, as long as it lasts, to support purely personal ends in the lower three worlds. So the ninefold differentiation is here, and I've reminded us of page 177 of Cosmic Fire. Well, actually, I think I can turn to that. Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and I'll just go to page 177. You'll see what I mean. Here is the ninefold choice. That this literally means that the three major rays can each be subdivided in connection with the ego, capital E. Notice that capital E, because that's the triad. The true ego is the spiritual triad. Can each be divided with respect in connection with the ego into three divisions, and this fact is also little appreciated, and therefore the diversity of the human being fails to be understood. So page 76 and 177 are very important when it comes to the higher race structure, and I do encourage all of you maybe to learn something about the TARA test, Transpersonal Astro-Rheological Analysis, which Rick Good and I have put together as an extension of Ray study, the study of one's own rays. Okay, so each hierarchy, each of these manifests a triple energy, which we are not given. Creative, English UK, I think we ought to be pretty good there. I don't know why that is any problem. All right, we'll take a look at this now. I realize I'm kind of going backwards here, but you know, I like to review and go over what we've done. The formulas for the electrical energies to be divined, I think, by some advanced fifth ray soul or monad have to do with septenary cosmic energy, which I think comes from each of the seven cosmic planes, with cosmic prana from the etheric body of the solar logos, and solar energy which divides itself in different sections across the cosmic physical plane. And the different ways of thinking about this, there are different ways of dividing. Let's see. Yes, of course, electric fire is found here, but in a sense here as well. Sometimes Agni is considered to be expressing solar fire on these three planes, which are monadic, atmic, and buddhic. There's a kind of a mixture of electric fire and solar fire on monadic, atmic, and buddhic planes. And even here, the divine lives have a second-ray connection to the sun and to the heart center of the central spiritual sun. Here, solar fire actually expresses in a purer form, at least as far as man is concerned, and then on the lower 18 subplanes, fire by friction is what we find. Well, I think I've gone over these. Lords of sacrifice and love are they. So even though they're connected with Saturn and with also with the third ray, they have certain qualities that are reminiscent of the this creative hierarchy has certain qualities reminiscent of the solar angels. I guess that they were higher than the solar angels in the previous solar system because the solar angels were human beings in the previous solar system. They give immortality and the ability of focusing in the spiritual triad and not avoiding the state of being subject to the changes of the physical form. They bestow upon human beings, to our fourth creative hierarchy, I suppose, certain qualities which are lacking, and what could these qualities be? We might say, perhaps, planetary mind, planetary heart, planetary will, because they are, in a way, they have a perspective which is planet-wide and an impersonal perspective. Because the spiritual triad is that. It's an extension of the mind, heart, and will of God. They're ready for service. The flower of the earlier eight, yes, connected with Mercury. And what is this eight? It doesn't say eighth, it says eight. And so perhaps in a previous solar system, they were connected with various spiritual hierarchies, and they are the flower. I've talked about that flower as the way there are egoic lotuses which evolve even though the method of individualization is different, because from the earlier system and also from the moon chain, where the method of individualization did not involve the solar angel per se, lotuses came in with petals unfolded, so the lotuses had to exist. I think that's interesting. And yes, there the potencies of triple evolution in the spiritual triad, but also as reflected in our personality, the personality of the soul. They are working through the personality of the monad, really. Yes, I'll put this here. I know it's these beings are working through and as the personality of the monad. Okay. Anything else we want to look at here? I know I'm going backwards, but sometimes when you go backwards, you can learn more than when you go forwards. Now we come to that point where we take up for brief consideration two hierarchies. We're on page 1200 at last, which closely concern ourselves, the human self-conscious entities. We do see our own seeing center, thus our self-conscious. These two groups are literally three, as the fifth creative hierarchy is a dual one. And that is a great mystery. And is this which has led to some confusion, and is the occult significance behind the ill-omened number 13? One member of this duality has an effect which apparently is not entirely beneficent, but of course all have their purpose. I mean, after all, if the crocodile eats your heart, you know, it's not exactly the most pleasant thing. Returning to incarnation within the realm of the human personality, and as the crocodilian human personality, we might say, may seem a very valuable thing to do from our incarnated perspective, but maybe from a discarnate perspective, it is not such a joy. So, as there are 12 creative hierarchies we are usually considering, the lower one, when we add the lower member of the fifth creative hierarchy, we get 13 of the fifth. The number is 13. Sometimes the 13 need not be ill-omened, because, you know, you think about the Christ and his disciples. He was, in a way, the 13th member, or the first, whichever way you want to look at it. Maybe from a certain perspective, Judas was the 13th member. But he was replaced, we are told, by St. Paul, who was the true disciple of Christ. There's some mystery surrounding Judas. And in a way, it may be how the third aspect reacts to the second aspect, symbolically considered. Judas had expectations of the Christ which fit with the old Hebrew paradigm, and he was looking for the great king warrior to return and liberate Israel. But the liberation was along the secondary aspect, second aspect of divinity, and it was not, I think, understood. So this group of the fifth creative hierarchy, let's, you know, take a look at this. I think what we'll do here, this is it here, it's called, the human personality, the crocodiles, Makara, the mystery. The numbers are 10 and 5. They're connected very much with the Father and the Son in that respect, because 10 is 1 and 5 is the Son. They have the Ichha Shakti, the will to manifest, they're connected with fire. But also, the solar angels are found here in the realm of the fourth creative hierarchy. And they're air devas, in a way, Agnishvatas. So fire and air, just like the fire and air we find up here at the divine flames, sometimes when you consider the fifth creative hierarchy, you have to consider the fifth sign, which is Leo, and the relationship between this first creative hierarchy, fire and air, and the fifth, in a way, fire, and if you look above, air. The solar angels are in two places at the same time. They seem to be focusing Buddhically, and yet they have fallen with a fragment of themselves into the cosmic physical body of the solar logos. Perhaps not into the, well, even in a way, into the cosmic physical body of the planetary logos, because a portion of themselves actually is focused in the human brain on a very low level. So if to descend into a place of incapacitation is a sacrifice, then they are certainly lords of sacrifice. Just at the beginning of this section of the Cosmic Fire commentaries, I mean the audio and video section of it, I read about the names of the solar angels, and we got an impression concerning their nature from a number of different points of view. They are ruled by Venus. Venus is connected with the color indigo. Indigo is the esoteric color of the fifth ray. They're connected with the fifth ray, and the law of cleavages is at work here, I think, dividing the higher Venus from the lower Venus. They are the upright pentagram and also the inverted pentagram. It almost seems like the battle between the White Lodge and the Black Lodge occurs right here, with the Black Lodge being great representatives of the concrete mind. We're told taking that sixth sense farther in its development than is even imaginable by man today. And the hierarchy is represented by the upright pentagram, by the true quality of Venus, which is the light and love of the soul, and brings in the great light of the fifth ray and also of the second ray, not to mention the sixth, which is the monadic ray. And that he definitely says so. They are the seekers of satisfaction and the cause of the second fall into generation, the fact behind the taking of a lower nature by the ego. In other words, put it this way, the fall into the physical body of the solar logos. Whereas the first fall simply takes one from higher planes onto the cosmic ethers, and a number of the manifested creative hierarchies are considered fallen, even though operating within the cosmic ethers. It's still a physical expression. The fourth and the fifth hierarchies are the ninth and the tenth, or the initiates and the perfect ones. What I gather from this is the perfect ones are the perfected ones from the previous solar system, and they are former human beings who are returning nirvanese, and they are aiding the newly become human animal men in our particular solar system, on our planet, on our chain, on our globe. We human beings are initiates, and in a way lower than the perfect ones, but in a way higher than the lower part of the creative, of the fifth creative hierarchy. We are as if higher than the lower part of the fifth creative hierarchy, the crocodiles. So we are in a way between the members of this hierarchy. Why there should be a duality here? I mean, you know, are Agnishvatas really found on both the higher mental plane and the lower mental plane? Because sometimes it seems that there's nothing but benevolence concerning them, and that if we are going to talk about the mental lives on the lower mental plane, we should talk about mental elementals, which are lunar rather than solar. And yet sometimes it seems as if the term Agnishvatas applies all the way across the mental plane. All human beings or imperishable jivas, so notice we are human beings or imperishable jivas, or we are, let's see, extensions of the monad, and hence of the same nature as the monad, and thus imperishable and immortal. So all human beings, or imperishable jivas, are those who evolve through a graded series of initiations, either self-induced or brought about on our planet with extraneous aid. So hence, we, who are members of the fourth creative hierarchy, are the, as it says, the initiates, because we evolving through initiation. So this they achieve through a marriage with the order next to them. We do not say below them, because in a way, though apparently below, the members of the higher part of the fifth creative hierarchy are far above the status of the human monad. To them, with the order next to them, the fifth. They are then completed or perfected. The rounding out occurs and the qualification. Jupiter is involved, giving completeness and fulfillment. There, you know, when you think about the connection between Leo, Sirius, and Jupiter, and probably also Venus, and hence the solar angels, there is a great benevolence going on, a bestowal of solar fire quality, which expands and deepens and rounds out these beings who have been evolved mostly under fire by friction, and I'm talking about us. We have, for so many millions of years, evolved under fire by friction. And then comes this divine intervention. So there is this marriage in the heavens, and you know, it's a very Libran thing in a way, too. Very Libran. And thus, Venusian. Venus scheme. Oh, that's not right. Let's just see what the word Venusian is. V-E-N. V-N-S. Venusian. V-N-U. Okay, there we go. Sometimes I have to look these things up. V-N-U. That's very Venusian. With the order next, to them, the fifth. They are then completed or perfected. And I would say this, completed or perfected ahead of the present movement on, or ahead of the present perfecting movement on our planet. In other words, millions of years ahead, although not really ahead, because still behind because of the retardation of the moon chain. I mean, we on this earth are millions of years behind schedule, because rounds take a long time. If you look in the Secret Doctrine, you'll see, well, you know, they may be of varying lengths, but they are pretty much said to last about 300 plus million years. We should be in our fifth round. More than that, we should be perhaps in our fifth scheme round, and not just in our fifth chain round. So perhaps we are many more millions of years behind than I first estimated here. So it's owing to this occult fact of the perfecting going on by associating with this very refining energy of Venus working through this hierarchy, that the fourth hierarchy is regarded as masculine, and the fifth as feminine. Well, let's just say the human kingdom, or perhaps the fourth creative hierarchy, is masculine when compared with the Deva kingdom as a whole. So when you look at the Earth is in a masculine incarnation and Venus a feminine. Earth is connected more with Mars and its masculinity and is trying to emulate Venus and rise to the status of Venus, just as our solar logos is attempting to rise to the status of the Sirian logos. There are certain parallels, just as we as a personality ruled by Mars are attempting to rise to the status of our soul ruled by Venus. So in a way, the divine feminine is very high and is not at all just associated with matter. It is associated with this great magnetic power which is lifting the Martian personality toward itself. So the divine feminine can manifest on several levels as the soul, thus higher than the personality. Interesting that these lunar elementals which compose our personality are ruled by Mars, the masculine planet. And we do have the story of the man in the moon. You know, it's not just a feminine symbol. So pretty much DK has told us the masculine, the human hierarchy is masculine. But the perfecting, interestingly enough, the perfecting power is administered by the feminine fifth creative hierarchy. And there are... what does it mean that they're feminine? You know, there is a... they work with magnetic power and with the energy of love, which is more feminine than masculine. If we... Of course, the sun is masculine, the S-O-N, and so the I remember in Cosmic Fire, I'm not sure where now, but I made a special little map of it, that the Deva kingdom was ruled by the second and third aspects of rays, and the human kingdom by the first and second aspects of rays. On the second ray, they both seem to meet, and it is on the second ray is associated with the second subplane of the cosmic physical plane, which is the monadic plane, that they do merge. The second ray is a great ray to promote merging. The hierarchy number four, the fourth creative hierarchy, interesting again, look at that number. The number is the same as our kingdom, the human kingdom, and it's a number of division and conflict, is the group wherein the highest aspect of man, his Father in heaven, takes place. So if Christ prays to his Father in heaven, well, how about that? I just see another possible abbreviation here. And we'll do this way. Then he's praying to his own monad, but to Sanat Kumara at the same time. Because in a way all monads are one with Sanat Kumara. Well, really all monads are one with the planetary logos, and it goes on from there, the identity of monads with each other. that is realized as the veils begin to thin. The one thing that happens is the veils of separation begin to thin as we realize that all things that seem different are really the same. We have to deal with difference to be practical in this world of illusion, which is really a great artistic expression. You know, a dance, a song, a symphony, a masterpiece, a play, all the things we are told. Oftentimes in fourth ray artistic terms, we're told about what this universe really is. We have to know how to participate in illusion without identifying with illusion or as illusion. And I think I'll just write that down. We must learn to participate in illusion without identifying identifying with illusion. Sorry for the typing. I taught myself how to type, you know, so you see the result. These lives are the points of fire who must become flame. And notice the divine flames. This tells us of a kind of objective. The lives on the logoic plane are already flames. But you know, from a certain point of view, every life is a point. And the great point contains all points, all such points, all lesser points, and, in fact, there is only one point in cosmos. Cosmos is a point. But anyway, how big is a point? And how big is a point? Dimensionless. So we have to see whether the mathematical understanding of the point is the same as this metaphysical understanding of the point. We human beings are points. Devas are points. We are all points of being. We are all points of being expressing through different qualitative veils of matter substance. So we have to flame right now the human monad is a spark hanging from the flame by a thread of finest fohat. I'm mixing up a few words there, but that is the idea. These lives, the lives that we are, so we are all points, and we are to become flaming points. You kind of wonder, if we become solar angels, do we become flaming points? Certainly it looks like the divine flames are there. I mean, there is not one life. There is not a single life which is not a point. And as I've said, the whole universe is a point. These lives are the point of fire who must become the flame. We might say that when doing so, they will have a place within the sea of fire. And maybe when liberated from the monadic vehicle, they will find their place as flame within the sea of fire, or the logoic plane. This they do through the agency of the fifth hierarchy and the four wicks, or the two dual lower hierarchies. And each one of these is dual, and we just should look at them. Here are the two dual lower hierarchies, the lunar lords and the elemental lives. Now, what is dual about these particular hierarchies? We have here, I think, the astral plane, and possibly we have the tiny lives or elementals, and we have the aggregates of those lives. Now, I tend to think of the lunar lords as the aggregates of smaller elemental lives, and the elemental lives themselves as the vitality of the atoms and subatomic particles, blinded but in some ways selectively intelligent. Maybe he'll tell us something about the two dual lower hierarchies. Generally, when you talk about the four wicks, one way of thinking about the four wicks is in terms of the elemental vehicles, the mental body, astral body, etheric body, and dense physical body. Those can be considered four wicks, or four concentrations of energy. Of energy which must burn, and then at last burn out and be replaced by solar fire. Thus, it can be seen that where man is concerned, the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh hierarchies are during the cycle of incarnation, his very self, or at least that with which he usually identifies himself. The monad is always misidentifying at first. They are the lords of sacrifice, lords of love. They are the flower of Atma Buddhi. Now, I think here we are pretty much talking about hierarchy number four, and Atma Buddhi is the immediate expression. Atma Buddhi. Okay. Atma Buddhi is the immediate expression of the monad, and when the jewel of in the lotus is liberated from the causal temple, it re-centralizes itself in Atma Buddhi, that is, within the triad. And I wonder, thought came to me. The jewel in the lotus re-centralizing itself within Atma Buddhi. I think that deserves its own abbreviation. Okay, so within Atma, when it re-centralizes itself in that level of intensity or level point of tension after the destruction of the causal body, there may be an unknown, unspecified higher vehicle on the higher atmic plane wherein that centralization takes place. You know, so interesting. After the it seems that the jewel in the lotus leaves intact the destroying, the causal body under destruction, and it has absorbed all of the essences of the permanent atoms which are destroyed somehow due to its recentralization within the triad. I believe the higher permanent atoms receive what they must to duplicate themselves as lower permanent atoms within a Maya Virupa. But maybe the whole thing is conducted from that centralization of the jewel within the triad following the destruction of the causal body. It seems that every content of the permanent atoms in a lower sense of the atomic triangle is within the higher permanent atoms. Otherwise, Master DK, writing as he does now, apparently without a causal body, could not recall all the events in his earlier lives when he was a young man, and he tells us certain anecdotes, certain stories. How are those preserved if they are not lifted up into the higher personality of the monad? So we have two factors there that are required. We have the liberation of the jewel in the lotus into the spiritual triad, but also that jewel in the lotus seems to be containing in some way all the experiences of the members of the atomic triangle. And somehow it seems that the higher permanent atoms have to receive some of this content. And by what means, I don't know, but suffice it to say that the harvest of all specific content of previous lives within the lower three worlds is abstracted into the spiritual triad and made available for the production of a Maya Virupa. Now, something occurs to me here that the Maya Virupa depends upon Kriya Shakti, which is the power of the monad. See, here's Kriya Shakti, materializing the ideal, and a Maya Virupa is an ideal, isn't it? It's an ideal form, and oftentimes it is the form in which the master took his fifth initiation. That is how the vehicle appears. So, since the jewel in the lotus is, in essence, the monad, it must be from the power of the jewel with its Kriya Shakti that the Maya Virupa is produced. So it's, though the content of the atomic triangle now within the jewel or somehow within the higher permanent atoms is utilized. Well, these are the higher physics of the spiritual triad. There are techniques, there are methods, all of that will be imparted to us in due time when we have mastered conditions here below. There is a certain inevitability to our progress, but the time element we know is in our hands. In studying these hierarchies, one of the most valuable lessons to be learned is the place and importance of man in the scheme. By scheme, not just planetary scheme, but the, as they say, scheme of things. In fact, the larger picture. The hierarchy, for instance, which is the essence of the intangible life of spirit, the principle of buddhi, is the esoteric cause of the cosmic marriage between spirit and matter based on the love and desire of the Logos. But each hierarchy also expresses itself through one particular manifestation, which comes to be regarded by the finite mind of man as the hierarchy itself. So, men in form appear to be the hierarchy of initiates, the fourth grade of hierarchy. This is not so, and care must be taken to distinguish between these hierarchies. Now, what hierarchy could we be talking about here? The hierarchy, for instance, which is the essence of the intangible life of spirit, the principle of buddhi, is the esoteric cause of the cosmic marriage of spirit and matter. Now, is not DK speaking of the fourth creative hierarchy? It seems so, because that hierarchy unites the higher and the lower kingdoms. This is the function of the human kingdom, which is the most characteristic expression of the fourth creative hierarchy. I'm going to say that there are many expressions of the fourth creative hierarchy. I will say this at different times in different ways, but the mineral, the vegetable, the animal are all expressions of the fourth creative hierarchy, and so is the initiate and even the master, the members of the fifth kingdom. To what extent are members of the sixth kingdom also expressions of the fourth creative hierarchy? Like the Christ, the Buddha, the Chohans, and so forth. They are no longer men, as are the masters, but are they members of the fourth creative hierarchy? It seems that this particular hierarchy of monads has many kingdom-like expressions. So we'll try to deal with that. See, one of the things that we do notice is that the human hierarchy, the fourth creative hierarchy, the initiates, lords of sacrifice, are in a way expressing on the Buddhic plane. That is their natural habitat for expression. And it's very interesting that the solar angels, which are already a more accomplished hierarchy, are somehow listed on the same plane. Human beings are not really solar angels, they are not really Agnishvatas, but they do express on the same plane, and there's some kind of harmonization of solar angels and man on the Buddhic plane. So I want to put that down. There is a harmonization of man and solar angels on the Buddhic plane. When that happens, the solar angels need no longer supervise the development of the human being. So the hierarchy, for instance, which is the essence of the intangible life of spirit, and the principle of buddhi, well, I suppose in our particular solar system, the intangible life of spirit is considered buddhi. Thus, it is considered in our solar system, is the esoteric cause of the cosmic marriage of spirit and matter. Now, in one way, we can look at that as the fourth grade of hierarchy, but I'm going to put this, it seems so, because the hierarchy unites higher and lower kingdoms. This is the function of the human hierarchy. However, maybe he is speaking of the fifth creative hierarchy, which is suffused with buddhi and makes possible the marriage of the human spirit monad with its material expression. Let's see if he says anything further about it as he goes along. Based on the love and desire of the Logos. Well, in a way, in many ways, you know, this sounds solar angelic. Oop, that's not what I want. Solar angelic. But each hierarchy also expresses itself through one particular manifestation, which may be regarded by the finite mind of man as the hierarchy itself. So the initiates here, the fourth creative hierarchy, and let's just say if we were to see solar angels, we would regard them as the fifth creative hierarchy, but they would be more the form through which the fifth creative hierarchy expressed. So DK is actually giving us a hint here when he says the hierarchy, for instance, which is the essence of the intangible life of spirit. Well, in a way, they all are, you know. If you go deep enough, we're going to find the intangible life of spirit at the heart of every creative hierarchy. But when it's said that they wield the principle of buddhi, then we simply look at this, and we see that the solar angels are definitely there. And they are on the buddhic plane, and they are closely identified as hearts of fiery love, suffused with that. And this buddhic quality is essentially of the spirit when it comes to our second ray solar system, a solar system with a second ray soul, which is manifesting in this solar system of the soul, just like the previous solar system was the solar system of the personality mind, basically. They are the latent germs or force centers and manifest subjectively. They warm and vitalize groups of forms. They flower forth and express themselves through the medium of a form or another hierarchy. Well, it does seem that he is talking, it does seem that he is speaking of the fourth creative hierarchy. So they are the latent germs of force centers. And this is so important. This means that the monads produce the chakras. We can put that together with some information in Cosmic Fire around 169 or so. Right in there, 166 to 169, where basically he's telling us that the chakras come from the monadic level, ultimately. So remembering all creative hierarchies really are monads, collections of monads, all creative hierarchies really are collections of monads. They are latent germs of force centers and manifest subjectively, truly subjectively, not just subtly, but subjectively, okay? Not just subtly, but subjectively. They warm and vitalize groups of forms. They flower forth and express themselves through the medium of a form or another hierarchy. So they express through that which the solar angels provide, and also through the vehicles which the lower two hierarchies provide. These hierarchies are all interrelated and are negative or positive to each other, as the case may be. This is about the giving and giving to and receiving from each other. There is so much that the human being receives from the solar angel, but you kind of wonder whether there's a parallel there. It's not no other self. It's the rule number 6. The purificatory fires burn dim and low when the third is sacrificed to the fourth. Therefore, let the disciple refrain from taking life and let him nourish that which is lowest with the produce of the second. Let the group know there is no... Well, let's just turn to it, because that very first sentence has got me stumped here for the moment. And it is right here. I think if we go to roughly page 22 or so, we should get it. Let the group know that life is one and naught can ever take that or touch that life. Let the group know the vivid, flaming, drenching life which floods the fourth when the fifth is known. The fifth feeds on the fourth. That's it. The fifth feeds on the fourth. So there's kind of a negative polarization here. The man to the solar angel is giving life. The man is positive in a strange sense, just as the planets are positive to the Pleiades, and the drawing power of the members of the fifth creative hierarchy is taking in nourishment from the human kingdom. So they are, in a sense, negative, even though they are conferring. In every positive-negative relationship, there is an exchange. You know, DK talked about the exchange, well, between Earth and Venus. And that exchange between Earth and Venus is similar to that between the heaven, seven heavenly men and the Pleiades, and is similar to that between the personality and the soul. In each case, the higher power is drawing off a form of nourishment from the lower power, which, however, is in a reciprocal exchange being nourished. But maybe, surprisingly, the lower power gives more than it gets. It seems that there's always a principle by which the higher must be nourished or somehow sustained by the lower. You know, the plants are sustained by the minerals and the animals by the vegetable kingdom, and man oftentimes by the animal kingdom. And now it seems that the fifth creative hierarchy is feeding upon the human kingdom, which is an externalization of the fourth creative hierarchy. Okay, let's see where we are. Well, we're getting that to that point. As is stated in the Secret Doctrine, this hierarchy is the nursery for the incarnating jivas. So he definitely is, no question about it, speaking here of the fourth, speaking of the fourth creative hierarchy. And the monads and the jivas are really one thing, but the monad is divisible into a part that remains and a part that goes forth. It's as discussed in the parable of the prodigal son. You see, Christ, knowing all of these details, also knew how to represent them in some actually quite occult parables, accounting for the occult facts in common language. This is a great gift, you know, and the gift of simplification, which makes understanding possible. And it carried in it the germs of the lives which achieved the human stage in a previous solar system, in another solar system, but were not able to proceed beyond that owing to the coming in of Pralaya, which projected them into a state of latency or non-activity. And it carried in it the germs of the lives which achieved the human stage in another solar system. I say also the nomads who did achieve the human stage in the previous solar system are part of the fourth creative hierarchy. Apparently, from what I understand, not all members of the fourth creative hierarchy did achieve. The germs of the lives, the germs of the lives. This is the nursery for the incarnating jivas, and at least some of them, at least some of them, achieved. It, so it seems to me, but not all. And this creative hierarchy was obviously, in some sense, active in the previous solar system, ruled by the third ray, and those who of the germs of lives who were characterized by the third ray showed up very early in Lemuria, we are told, even before individualization of some of their brother monads. That is quite an interesting piece of information from Esoteric Psychology 1, and it's related to the Jewish group, or, you know, not as the Jews are today, but whatever they represented in terms of being the nomads from the previous solar system. But we're not able to proceed beyond that, beyond the human stage, owing to the coming in of Pralaya, which projected them into a state of latency or non-activity, and then they had to take up. The condition of the hierarchy is similar, only on a cosmic scale. Aha. So here we seem to be talking about the incarnating jivas particularly. And I would just say the jivas as distinct from the monads which sponsored them. So some jivas had gone forth in the previous solar system and had become men and had developed a certain number of petals, developed to a certain point of view. Whether they came to the moonchain or not, we do not know. Sometimes it seems they have, but at least a number of them showed up in Lemurian days before individualization. What they did, we don't know, but DK makes the point to say they did, they were there. All right, well, we're at the point where I'm going to say that this is the, okay, this is the end of, Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 5A, page, I think it's 1201. That's what it is, page 1201. And this is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 5B, page 1201.